We got a lot of cool things tonight and some fun things that we're going to share and talk about. And I just want to show you a quick picture of our family real quick. Jason, would you go to the second to last slide? It's not the last slide, but it's the second to the last slide. And is that the second to last? Maybe that's not it. Second to last, way down there. No. It's a picture of a little kid. Maybe we didn't do that one. Oh, you know. Yeah. Take it before that, the white before that. Right there. That's our son. And he's just a little old kid, man. And that was when he was little. And we just thought this is the greatest thing in the world, man. You know how you get little pictures from Owen Mills? Y'all remember that? Can you imagine? Go tell an 18-year-old what Owen Mills is. And they'll
remember the fake background?
Is that like the wooden TikTok? Fence? What is that? And they have no idea because they just take pictures all the time. You had to go where to Sears or
Pennies?
Yeah. How many remember that? And you got what you got. That picture came back, man. Ain't nothing. You got it. This is the picture we got. And I was excited. We sent it to our grandparents and all of that. And then I looked at his finger. And I said, Grandpa, did you get that photo? And he goes, yeah, I show it to everybody. I go, oh, God, that's so funny. No, I show it to everybody. I said, man, that's messed up. But I couldn't tell him, and I never did tell him.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But anyway, so Drew, he gets married. And 2 years after they were married, Dad, I got to tell you something. Julia, when she was little, they took a picture of her. And I think I got this clicker on. Maybe I need to turn it on. So, Jason, would you go to the next slide? That's. That's who he married. This is all the meals, man. You can't PowerPoint these things. Power shot. And I'm like, son, we don't want grandkids from that side of the family. I don't know what it was with him and that little thing, but he's like 6 or 7 years old. And he's in the. Jason told me I could only tell two stories tonight. I said, I'm a faculty member. How could you tell me a professor tell two stories? You can't limit me to two stories. That's messed up. So anyway, I'll tell you the story, though. And he's seven, and he's a goalie in the soccer thing, and he's losing his front tooth. They're just hanging. You know how these kids, they hang around, they spin them, and they're like, and they don't want, and so he comes over, at the halftime break, and I see him playing, I said, Drew, your tooth, man, we got to get that out of there. And he goes, oh, man, I know. I said, come here, boy, come here. Let me just yank that thing out. And he goes, it hurt? I said, no, it ain't going to hurt. So I yanked it. He goes, oh, that hurt. So he runs back out there, and he plays the game, and you can see him playing with his tooth. He comes over to me. He says, Dad, at the end of the game, Dad, I can't say my F words. And I said, son, I am so proud of you. Yeah, he can't say his F words. That's awesome. I said, son, you have no idea how happy that makes your mom and I. Right, hey, let's go to number one. How do you turn this thing on? You just push a button. Slide. Where it says on. We'll go to slide one. Gratitude. We give thanks to the Lord. We give thanks to you guys. You guys are amazing. Watching that video. Was that Paul Harvey?
Yeah.
How many remember Paul? Ask a kid if they know Paul Harvey. Isn't Paul Harvey the greatest person that ever lived? He's like C.S. Lewis or, I don't know, he was just awesome. Mm-hmm. But watching that, I don't know how y'all felt, but it just made me grateful for y'all.
Yeah.
Chosen to run in when we run away. There's a fire in our creek one time. This is number three.
We're just going to start.
I don't really care what you say. This is number three. I'm out there. There's this. You tell them how big it was.
Oh, it was huge. Huge flames in our backyard.
Trees.
2 years ago.
We're in Southern California. We have this bamboo. Have you ever have you ever started a fire with bamboo? Telling a bunch of firemen, and this thing is just pop, 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 and just, and the embers are coming over to our house. Is that how it goes?
It was loud. I never knew a fire was loud.
I know, and the embers, and I go out with my little, I'm like, Lisa, get in the car, get everything packed, get the kids, man. I'm just going to be out here, and I'm watering away with our garden hose and all the embers. And I'm just wandering, just doing everywhere with this garden hose. And about, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes, I'm standing there, and a voice next to me says, I don't think that's going to help. And I looked over, there's one of you looking at me. He's going, I don't think that's going to help. He goes, what do you do for 11? A professor. Yeah, you might want to just go ahead and get in the car. Okay. Well, anyway, that's our story. That just happened not that long ago. Oh, not that long ago. So, Lisa, we're going to talk about gratitude, and there's some cool stories we have and just some things that have stood out to us. And one of those, I think, Lise, is when we think about how what it means to be grateful. Mm-hmm. And I think what it means to be grateful for us is a couple of things. There's a great story. I think if you guys can do anything tonight, let's consider what it means and think about your favorite passage on Thanksgiving. And not on the holiday, of course, but on gratitude and Thanksgiving. There's so many. There are so many ways that we can express our love, but our appreciation and our gratitude to other people, but then to God. And I want you to be thinking about that. I also want you to be thinking about, for some of you, I saw that video, and some of y'all's fallen comrades, and I just think some of you have seen so much and have been through so much, and Jeremy talked about that the Firefighters for Christ would love to be able to pray for any one of y'all tonight. So we're going to end just a little bit early. You're going to be able to have some of these Firefighters for Christ guys stand maybe along the edges. And would you, if you want prayer, would you just go up and just pray with them? Does that sound good? Mm-hmm. Some of y'all, if you just want prayer, man, you just say, could you pray for me? I saw that list and it made me sad. Or we saw somebody from Lubbock, Texas, where she's from. And or you just say, something this weekend struck me and I just want to pray. Or can I just tell you a story? Just do that. Does that sound good tonight? You want, can we do that? Some of you, yeah, we'll just, you don't have to, but y'all will just do that. Let's set you up there about 5 minutes early. Lisa, there's a story that you remembered that struck you as pretty powerful. Why don't you tell that?
Yeah, so I'm going to read it to you. It says, it happened every Friday evening, almost without fail. Old Ed came strolling along the beach to his favorite pier with a bucket of shrimp. Standing out on the end of the pier, Ed is alone with his thoughts and his bucket of shrimp. Before long, however, dozens of seagulls envelop him. Ed stands there tossing shrimp to the hungry birds, and as he does, if you listen closely, you can hear him say with a smile, "Thank you. Thank you." Most people would probably write off old Ed and say, "Wow, that's too bad." But you know what? You'd do well to know him better. His full name is Eddie Rickenbacker. In World War II, he was on a flying mission across the South Pacific when he and his 7-member crew went down. Miraculously, all of the men survived, crawled out of their plane, and climbed into a life raft. Eddie and his crew floated for days on the rough waters of the Pacific. They fought the sun, they fought sharks. Most of all, they fought hunger and thirst. By the 8th day, their rations ran out. No food, no water. They were hundreds of miles from land, and no one knew where they were or if they were even alive. These men needed a miracle. Well, that afternoon, they had a simple devotional service and prayed for a miracle. Later that day, while taking a nap, Eddie suddenly felt something land on top of his cap. It was a seagull. He sat perfectly still, planning his next move. With a flash of his hand and a squawk from the gull, he managed to grab it and wring its neck. He tore the feathers off, and he and his starving crew made a meal of it, a very slight meal for 8 men. But then they used the intestines for bait. With it, they caught fish, which gave them food and more bait. And the cycle continued. And with that simple survival technique, they were able to endure the rigors of the sea until they were found and rescued after 24 days at sea. Eddie Rickenbacker lived many years beyond that ordeal, but he never forgot the sacrifice of that first life-saving seagull. And he never stopped saying, "Thank you. Thank you." That's why almost every Friday night, he would walk to the end of the pier with a bucket full of shrimp and a heart full of gratitude.
Isn't that an amazing story? You know who he is? He founded Eastern Airlines. Eddie Rickenbacker was an amazing World War I pilot. Flew everything, raced cars, did all kinds of things. And you know him because he was an amazing person who went on and turned that gratitude of just being alive and founded this airline. Eastern Airlines, it's out of business. It was bought off by other people. But he made such an impact, and he never forgot to say thank you. Isn't that just a great way? Great way to consider, what does it mean to say thank you? I'm just going to tell you, I don't know, 2020, I think it stinks and it was bad, but God did some amazing things in there. To say thank you of what he did, the way he did it, and the way he worked in our lives, and gratitude is that. By the way, this is an actual ice cream company called Grateful. There's an ice cream company called Grateful. You can order it and go get the ice cream. Well, I think you can. I haven't tried it, but... Well, I think we'll just skip this little survey. What I want to do is just ask you a couple of questions about gratitude. And on this one, I think, at least for us, what it finds is just this ability. I think it's the next one, about what gratitude means in relationships. And at least this is just a great quote from a guy named, well, let me just tell you about Bob Emmons. It's a story. It's not a story. It's not a story. It's just a... So Robert Emmons is, check this out, the world's leading expert on the psychology of gratitude. Wouldn't that be a great thing? You become the world's leading expert on the psychology of gratitude, and he's here at UC
Davis.
And guess what he is? He's a believer. He loves Jesus. And he studied grace, and now he's studying grace. And that's his, so he's the world-leading expert in the psychology of gratitude, and he's studying grace. And I'm like, Bob, if you want to just study me, just call. I'm fine. I'm free. That's my last name, if you don't know that. And you're like, what does that mean? So one time we took a picture with Bob right in between us, and he goes, I'm surrounded by grace. And I'm like, yes, you are. But he is the leading expert on the psychology of gratitude. And he said, at least I can't see that. Oh, I see it as a relationship-strengthening emotion, right? Go ahead.
Because it requires us, it strengthens our emotions, because it requires us to see how we've been supported and affirmed by other people.
I'm just going to tell another one. So it goes like this. We're talking with Bob one day, and Bob has a $4 million grant by Templeton to study gratitude. And what does UC Davis say when he gets the $4 million grant? They say, "Ooh, yeah, bring it in." And they bring in $4 million to UC Davis, and he studies gratitude there. And then he decides about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, is this okay? To change to grace as a topic because it's so profound and deep. And we bring him to Bible's campus all the time. Every once a year, we bring in one of the leading experts in forgiveness to campus too, a guy named Ev Worthington. But we're sitting there talking with him. Check this out. He gets another $4 million grant from Templeton on the topic of grace. What does UC Davis say to him? We don't want that topic here because it's too divisive. $4 million at UC Davis. So what did we say to him? Bring it to Biola. We'll take you. And so guess what we did? We made him an adjunct professor and he came to Biola and he's studying grace. And he's still at Davis. But he just comes in and we're like, thank God, maybe you can go study sin. There's all kinds of things the world wouldn't want to hear. You go get money and we'll bring it to buy. It's a true story. Isn't that awesome? So now we're training our psychologists and all kinds of graduates to study grace at Biola with a formula just because of this man. And he is the leading expert. He talks about some amazing things on gratitude. Watch this great story. Oh, should I go back? You ready? Sound? I might have messed it up. Oh.
I don't count it a burden, whatever, to have to care for her. I need to do everything. From the moment she gets up to the moment she goes to bed, I do absolutely everything. Clean her teeth, shower, dress, everything. And but it's a privilege. I count it a great privilege to care for this one that I've loved all of these years and continue to love. This is the year when we'll celebrate our 50th wedding anniversary. Our stories have been a lovely story. I first saw her when she was 8 years old, and her brother became my best friend. And we grew up together, and as we grew up, yeah, she was there. And I knew that she used to stare at me when I was playing footy with her brother and another friend, and when we used to ride bikes, and she kept staring at me, but I wasn't interested. I was 17, she was 16. I saw her dolled up, dressed up, and she had an A-line dress on, and boom, it was gone. I was, she was the one for me then, absolutely. When we first started dating, I used to ride my bike from where I lived to where she was, and that was about 5 kilometres on a Saturday afternoon, because it was the only chance we had to get together. And it was hair wash day for her, and she used a special cream in her hair for a shampoo. And I can still smell it, because that smell was so particular, so nice. It was just absolutely special. We had a bike. I used to ride everywhere on my bike, and then Glad had a bike as well, and we put a baby chair on the front of her bike, and so we carried our babies around on the bike with her as well. So yeah, bike's been part of our lives, and I guess that has something to do with us now. Around about 2004-05, I began to notice that there were things going wrong. She was finally diagnosed with the horrible disease of Alzheimer's. Having lived overseas, I knew that with a bike you can do lots of things. So I had a bike made, a bike chair made. We take it to the beach and ride along beside the beach. And as we do that, we see lots of people. A lot of people come talk to us because it's a unique thing. Nobody else has got a bike chair quite like that one. I am determined to care for her every need, every need. You see, God has loved us so unconditionally. And I understand that God has put his love in my heart. And because I realize how much God has loved me, that's how I too can love my lovely wife. She has done so much for me over all of these years. Now she can't, but I can, and I can return her love. And it's a love that, well, to me, means I can do everything for her. She's my princess, I'm her William, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Would you have it any other way? No, not at all. We love each other.
Ooh. Yeah. It's powerful. You can't do it. What it does is it just brings to mind that, you know, when we marry someone, and when we're with someone, whether it's a family member or a son, a grandparent, a parent, a spouse, that we make commitments to them. And it's just deep modeling of who Jesus was. That's the model of Jesus. I think if you look at the life and you want to see who Jesus was, you look to the hands of the people like us. We go along with him. We walk with him. And the people want to see him is this. It is seeing Jesus in the way you love the person you're with, the way you love the people that you're around. Maybe it's in your firehouse. It's your spouse. And I think we got a taste of that a little bit in 2020. 2020 was horrible for a lot of reasons. We're still not maybe emotionally ready to talk about it. I don't think you are. But she was amazing. You would see Jesus in this woman right here. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. I was at my most vulnerable, at a place where it was hard to look forward to the next day. And I've never been at that place where I couldn't look forward to the next day. And people would look at us and they would see Elisa and they would see her commitment to our family and to me, and they would see Jesus. And I'm so grateful, Lisa, for that. I think you're the joy you brought in the worst moments possible. We're talking with the Andrews, and they experienced very similar things, but I don't know if you want to say anything. So it was just short story. I'll tell you more, but it was just less than a year ago, diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer, and 90% blockage and completely out of the blue. And surgeries and chemo. We had to cancel. We were coming up here last year for y'all, and we had to cancel due to chemo, and it was just horrible. But this relationship, somebody at the most vulnerable state, and that's where I was for most of 2020. After 13 rounds of chemo, I was gone. And I just remember thinking, I can't do this. I'm done. I can't. And to have Elisa come in there, gratitude is a very important topic for us, because it's so real and it's so powerful, and we can listen to the psalmist cry out with our hearts in desperation. And each time they do, they say thank you. And we're just so grateful it was stage 3. Some of you haven't had that luck. Some of you had stage 4. And stage 4 is horrible. And stage 3, at least there's hope. There's hope. And we have such a much better survival rate than stage 4, man. Stage 4, there's very little hope. And I know some of you have faced that. Some of you have faced what William and Princess have faced.
Yeah. But I think it's interesting, as we look over this last year, this topic has become more and more important to us, because there were days that were so hard and so bleak that Chris would look at me and he would just, the way we got through it is he would say, Lise, what do we have to be grateful for? What do we have to be grateful for? It's like he couldn't even think it himself, so he would ask me, What do we have to be grateful for? And so we would sit and we would just recount the blessings going on in our lives, whether it's with our children or our jobs or our family, that our kids that married well, or that we have a house and a roof over our heads. I mean, we would think of every little thing and just recount. And it's interesting, because they say that thanksgiving and gratitude is the gateway or the doorway into God's presence. And so when you can take those times that are hard, that are difficult, and approach them with even a sense of gratitude, maybe not for the circumstances, but in spite of the circumstances, I will still sing your praises, Lord. I will still sing your praises. We look at 1 Chronicles 16, 34 and 35. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. The circumstances going on in life, don't change that. He's still good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Then say, save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather us, deliver us from the nations.
Yeah.
Psalm
91, go ahead, yeah.
Psalm 91, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all of your wonders.
And that's what she would do. Yeah, I honestly, it's really kind of painful to admit this, but I had a hard time. Well, many of y'all are familiar with this and know it, and you've lived some of this, but you get wiped out completely, and I couldn't read. I couldn't open this book up, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't do anything, and I would just say, Lisa, what am I grateful for today? What am I thankful for? And she would just come up with the most amazing things, and I'd say, Lisa, what do I have to be thankful for today? And she would say, Chris, it's because you know Jesus, and he's here with us right now. And I say, Lise, what do I have to be thankful for tonight? And she'd go, Chris, we have a house, we have wonderful children. I say, Lise, what are we doing? Help me, what are we grateful for today? That's all we did, and that's all we said. And she'd always just be so smiling, happy, at least around me. And I know when she went somewhere else, she'd cry a lot. What do we have to be grateful for today? And like William and Princess, what did he have grateful for today? He's grateful because she's still there. Because she's still there. There's so many different passages out there, and it's in the New Testament, this one right here. And in the New Testament, of course, we can see, and I know you have a lot of verses, but all the Old Testament writers, Colossians as well, clothe yourselves with humility and with love, and then always be thankful. Always be thankful. Paul talked about with thanksgiving in our hearts. So I guess, at least this is...
Yeah, let's talk about the opposite. What would be the opposite of gratitude? Like when you think about it, just what comes to mind? Tell us, What comes to mind? What would be the opposite of being grateful?
Give us a word, yeah. What's that?
Grumbling. Mm-hmm. What else?
What?
Selfish.
Complaining. Bitter. Mm-hmm. Entitlement.
Mm,
anger.
Isn't that
How do you guys know so much about this? I say, Lisa, is this complaining? Am I complaining right now?
No. That's just being real.
Yeah.
That's just being real.
All right. So we're going to read you a passage. Are we? Are we going to mm-hmm. do that? It's mm-hmm. Matthew 20. Do you remember the story? Okay, the workers. Mm-hmm. For the vineyard of heaven. Oh, yeah, yeah. For the vineyard of heaven is like a master of a house.
Yeah. A master of a house who hired laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And about 9 a.m., 12 p.m., 3 p.m., and 5 p.m., he went out and found the others standing. And when the evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call all the laborers in and pay them their wages." And on receiving it, they grumbled. "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or is your eye envious because I'm generous?"
This is an amazing passage. Look at that word in blue up there. They grumbled. Did someone say that?
Mm-hmm.
I thought someone said that they grumbled. Yeah. And so we have these other ideas of what it means. I want to show you now a little video. Some of you have seen this, and it's just so interesting. It's a story of a researcher, and what he does, he works with macaw monkeys, and he just trained them, and that's what his job. He's a psychologist, and he's here in California. No, I don't know where he's at. But anyway, he takes these monkeys and he trains them. And so what he's doing, you'll see it in just a minute. It's pretty clear. But he gives some monkeys a treat that they really like when they perform a service. And the same other monkeys who perform a service, they don't get as good of a treat. And he wanted to see what would happen. So there's just a little bit of a lag. So don't worry about it if you don't hear sound for a second.
The one on the left is the monkey who gets cucumber. The one on the right is the one who gets grapes. The one who gets cucumber, note that the first piece of cucumber is perfectly fine. The first piece she eats. Then she sees the other one getting grape, and you will see what happens. So she gives a rock to us, that's the task. And we give her a piece of cucumber, and she eats it. The other one needs to give a rock to us. And that's what she does. And she gets a grape. And she eats it. The other one sees that. She gives a rock to us now, gets again cucumber. She tests her rock now against the wall. She needs to give it to us. And she gets cucumber again.
All right, I love that, man. That is one angry monkey. He grumbles. And why do you think he got so angry? Because what do you think he felt?
Jealous?
Do monkeys feel fairness? Oh, sir, seems like it. By the way, social animals like that take care of each other, and they're like, hey, if I get good stuff, I give it to you, you know, and they do this, and they usually share, and this monkey's like, no, something is bad. And it's just an amazing, awesome story. And so I think it illustrates, if you want, sometimes when we feel this too, right? We get out there and we're like, oh my gosh, this is so awesome. And you get this cool thing, and then all of a sudden you realize you're not getting it as cool as that guy. Mm-hmm. And then what was cool at one point, you're like, wait. Mm-hmm. This was perfectly acceptable. That grape was, or cucumber was perfectly fine. And then the other one got the great. It's just awesome when
it's
you see
a great,
that.
It's a great lesson, isn't it, in terms of comparison? When we start to compare our lives, what we have with what somebody else has, suddenly what was fine 5 minutes ago just doesn't seem so good. That's a good, comparison can be an insidious, just eat away at your joy, at your happiness, and your contentment. If we can keep our eyes, they say it's easier to be happy with what you have than unhappy with what you think you don't have. Mm-hmm. So beware the trap of comparison.
Yeah, a guy named Timothy Miller said, you can resent that you have a bald spot, or you can be grateful that you have a head. So there you go. I don't know what that means, but that's what it means. So hey, God protect us from the effects of conflict. So we talked about conflict today. This is what gratitude can do. Think about all the passages on gratefulness and thankfulness. It goes on and on and on and on and on. Thank you and thank the Lord and tell him. And when they ask Jesus, how do you pray? He says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And then give us this day our daily bread. It's a way of thanks. Every time I remember you, said Paul, I pray and I'm thankful because I think about you. Let's do that if you want to avoid conflict. Whenever I do this with Elisa and we struggle with things back and forth, even before our diagnosis and surgeries and all of that, it was this idea of, oh my gosh, we have this little kind of thing about whatever we're arguing about that afternoon, and just a gratitude almost takes it. I don't know what it does. It feels like it lets the air out about what's important.
We remind each other, remember the cucumber. This is a cucumber moment, isn't it? Remember the cucumber. Be grateful for what we have.
Remember the cucumber.
Remember the cucumber.
Yeah, gratitude protects us from the effect of conflict, right? It's a Teflon effect on our relationship. At the University of Georgia, they did a study and they wrote this. By the way, not a Christian institution. When they were writing this, creating an environment, that is, gratitude has this effect. It creates an environment where negative events such as a financial hiccup or a work stress simply bounce off and don't have the same negative effect. Wouldn't that be awesome? You train some of these young guys coming up, some of these young women that are coming up. And by the way, firefighters, the stress you're under, we've done research just on our own because working with Victor and everybody else that we've been talking to and thinking about for a number of years, we looked at some research and found that marriages, if you're a male firefighter, you have stress and divorce rates that are about average of the world out there. But women firefighters have double the risk. Women firefighters. So I think if you're out there training some of them and they're coming up, it's learning what does it mean. And one of these is, hey, how can we get you through this? And there has to be some things during conflict that can be extremely stressful. And there's some reasons why when they looked at this research. And this is about 6 years ago. And if you want, I'll show you that data. But it's just fascinating how gratitude can just help us move forward. So Lisa, there's a things we want them to do. Would you guys do this right now? List three things that you're grateful for. Take a minute, sit there. You can talk to whoever you came with, or you can do it alone. Three things you're grateful for, all right? Do it alone or whoever you came with, however you want. Three things, and we're gonna yell them out. Okay, three things you're grateful for. Somebody just, I don't care if you raise your hand or just yell it out. I don't know, short little sentences. Your bride. Oh. For 34 years.
35 years with Lisa.
I think we are married this year after. 55. The bride, 55 years.
Having Christ in our home.
And having Jesus.
It's why we reach 55.
It's why you reach 55,
Christ
get Jesus
the
in your
center.
Home.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Praise God.
Something else, something you're grateful for. Bride's already taken.
Children. Jesus.
Jesus, yeah. Man.
Amen. That,
again.
Everlasting life in
Jesus, accepts you the way you are, calls you beloved, and then redeemed.
Good caring parents.
I saw another hand. You just bought it. Come on. Yes.
My husband.
Your husband.
Amen.
Amen for. Amen.
Wow.
Come on. One more.
I'm thankful for David too.
She's thankful for that husband. Yeah.
Love you, bro.
David, that's awesome. Is that Randy? No, where's Randy? I don't know who it is. Thankful for David. Oh, you said David. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Keep going. Anything else?
Loyalty.
What'd you say?
Loyalty.
Mm-hmm. Lise?
Because I'm thankful out of my head.
I have a head. Thank Timothy Miller. He's a comedian. He said that, not me.
What's incredible is when you go back to that quote about gratitude has a Teflon effect in our relationships. Think about the importance then of building a culture of gratitude in your home, in your firehouse, in your neighborhood, in your extended family, with your neighbors, right? A culture of gratitude where we're expressing to each other. They say that having something that you're grateful for, that you appreciate, that someone else has done for you, and not telling them is like having a gift all wrapped that you never give to somebody. And so the importance is not only in feeling grateful about something, but it's also in expressing it and telling the other person what you're grateful for. And John Gottman, the leading researcher, marital researcher, one of the things that he says is that never get tired of doing the little acts of kindnesses for each other, because oftentimes it's the small things that take up the biggest place in the other person's heart. So that goes for your friends too. If there's something you appreciate that you value about it, start to notice it. The thing is that we often just breeze by it and take it for granted. We have to stop and pause and actually be aware of it and be intentional about being aware of it. And so we're going to talk a little bit about what are some really practical things you can do to start raising your awareness of how much you appreciate other people and just gifts, God's everyday little blessings that he plants in your pathway along the day, every day.
Lisa, maybe you can start and tell them what you're grateful about me. Tell them all the things that are good. No, we're teasing. She actually did that.
Well, he's being very sneaky. Yes.
She did that. She wrote a list of all the things she was grateful for about me, and she put it on the computer, and I saw it one day. And you know what I did? I added like three things that she forgot. I'm like, you'd mess this and that, and I put it down there, and then she...
Put it up.
Okay, I'm sorry. this is it. We have it. Look. That's the list. She wrote it, and I picked a picture of it after I added...
The fun thing is what I do is, and I would encourage you to do this too, especially if you happen to be married, this would be a fun little exercise, is actually create a gratitude journal about your spouse. Or maybe if you have children, do it for your children. And you just keep a running list of things that you're grateful for. As something happens throughout the day, you just go back and add to it. And then sometimes you just happen to leave it out so they can see it. And they can find
it. That's what you were doing.
You thought you were being tricky adding it, but it was actually there. But think what your kids or your grandkids, maybe you have grandkids, imagine what they would think if they came to your house and they saw a list with their name written at the top of it, and all these qualities are things that you love and admire and appreciate about them. Imagine what that would do for them.
That's awesome. Take a picture of this, because this is a practical way. You go home, you can do all kinds of things. And I think we're going to pray now as you think through this. But Lise, you want to make a comment on one or two of these.
Yeah, well, we'll just touch on them real quickly. Keeping a gratitude journal, three or four things that you're grateful for each day, and just review it throughout the week. Another thing is to, when you have your prayer time, use prayers and scripture of gratitude. Pray it back to God. It's a great way to enliven your prayer time. And then just being mindful or being intentional to actually pay attention. We're really good at catching each other doing something wrong. So let's work at being intentional about catching our coworkers, catching our family members doing something right, and actually telling them about it.
We used to wait for our kid to do something really well, and we would say, oh, you're so good. So our kids would be like bouncing around for bedtime, and they'd be bouncing around, and one of them would finally lay still, and I would just count 5 seconds. And they wait 5 seconds, I go, oh, Drew, I'm so proud of you and grateful for you. Look how quiet you're laying. And what did the other kid do? They're like,
look at me, Daddy. Look at me.
What about me, Daddy? I go, Natalie, just breathe, first of all, child, just breathe. And I would say, Natalie, I'd wait because she was the worst, man. I'd go, one, two, three. Natalie, I'm so proud of you and so grateful. Yeah. And she'd be, thank you, Daddy.
Yeah.
Oh, we know how to manipulate. If you need help.
Yeah.
I didn't use the M word. If you need help working with children, you call me.
Yeah,
actually, call her. She's even better.
And so research shows quickly. This is just a freebie. Research shows that there's a principle of 5 to 1. It takes 5 positive comments to counteract each negative comment. So think about that. If you have something that you need to bring up that might be a negative, then that means you've got to come up with 5 positives to help counteract the negative impact of that, okay?
So sometimes that negative ain't worth it.
Fairly long and hard about
it. Forget it.
So the fourth is to make a vow where you actually make a commitment to be grateful and practice gratitude.
Okay.
Number 5, throughout the day, practice speaking words of gratitude, even just to yourself. Hey, remind yourself, I am feeling grateful that I have legs that work. I have a home. I have a job. We have our health now. We're grateful for that. Number 6, throughout the day, practice acting gratefully. That means saying thank you. Maybe you write a thank you note, but you actually put it into action. And so those are some tips for you to actually create a culture of gratitude in your home, at work, in your firehouse.
You're awesome and hot.
Scoot over.
That's 2. Oh, 2. Yeah. Hey, if y'all want prayer and time, I think we're going to do that right now and spend some time because we're grateful for y'all. I know you are grateful for so many things, but there's also a lot that's hard.
So tonight, before you go to bed, whoever you're rooming with, share with them 3 things about them that you are grateful for before you go to bed
tonight.
That's
a good idea.
Okay?
That's
good. Got your homework.
How y'all want to do this? Where's Joe?
Yeah, so just we're going to end this night, like we were saying, just in a time of prayer. And so then if you want to stick around and be prayed for, if you have something you just like to share, or maybe it's a praise, stick around. If you don't particularly need that, then you can head on over to the dining hall. We've got a snack in there going on. And just real quickly, tomorrow morning breakfast, 8:30, and then we're back in here at 10 o'clock for our final session. So, yeah. It's just ice cream. It's not really food. Yeah. Yeah, grapes. Half of you will get cucumbers, and half of you will get grapes. You're ruining the mood, Frank. Let me pray for us, and then just really do want to just encourage you guys to open up and to pray and let these incredible men and women pray for you and maybe just share a burden, and let's lift each other up tonight. God, we are grateful for you. Even as I say that word and think of this concept of gratitude, I know oftentimes we come to you with petitions and requests, and frankly, we do kind of act like the monkey with a cucumber sometimes when we don't get your answer in the way that we want it. And Lord, tonight, would you remind us of how important it is for us to show our gratitude, our measly attempt at gratitude, back to you for what you've done for us. So let first and foremost, let the focus of our gratitude be toward you, the giver of life, who we owe a debt to, we could never even begin to scratch the surface of repaying. And then out of the overflow of that gratitude to you, let us show it to others and let that be contagious, Lord, in the relationships that we have, whether that's with a spouse or parent or child or friend. God, let us in this room be models of that gratefulness and gratitude. And God, I pray that if there are needs in this room, maybe there are hurts, maybe some people saw the names of friends who passed last year. God, would you just encourage these men and women in this room to share those burdens and share requests and let them be prayed for. Let them be lifted up to you tonight. God, we thank you for this great night. In Jesus' name, amen.